Hi, welcome to the Career Refresh Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Griffin. I'm a former media and marketing executive turned career strategist and executive coach. I spent my career working my way up and through the ranks of global organizations and startups, and today I show others how to do the same. Join me each week as we discuss the strategies and actionable steps to leverage your strengths, increase your confidence, and develop your career well-being. Ready? Let's do it. Hi, this is Jill Griffin, and you're listening to The Career Refresh. This week, I'm introducing you to Sarah Shriver. She is the VP of Programming and Marketing for the Fast Channels and VOD sales at the BBC Studios. Sarah focuses on expanding the monetization of the various opportunities at the BBC Studios and works on its programming presence across various platforms. She has over 20 years' experience holding roles at A&E, which is also Lifetime and the History Channel, and overseeing digital sales, content, and ad sales. Sarah also has a background in digital media sales, having worked for iVillage and NBC Universal. And another interesting fact about Sarah is that she and her husband are urban beekeepers. They have hives on the roof of their Brooklyn, New York home. The name of the company that they own is called Gowanus Apiary. I will put that in the show notes, but you may be familiar with the famous Carroll Gardens honey that they sell. It's made local in Brooklyn. And in this episode, we talk not only about the experience of working with a beloved company for many years and then eventually deciding to make a change when she went from A&E to BBC Studios, but then also after you've worked for a place for a long time, when you're new and what that feels like and some of the things that she learned along the way as making that switch after, again, many years of success at A&E. And then we also talk about how running a business or having a hobby outside of your work that has nothing to do with your day job, how it kind of keeps things in perspective and helps you be all around better and more well-balanced in what you're doing during the day. So friends, if you have questions, email me at hello@jillgriffincoaching.com. Dig in, listen to Sarah. She's such a respected voice in our industry, and I know you're going to find this episode a treat. So dig in, and I will see you next time. Hi, Sarah. I'm glad that we're doing this today.
So great to be here, Jill. Thank you.
All right, let's get to it. So the first question, as you know, that I ask everybody is tell us what you wanted to be when you grew up.
I wanted to be in the Foreign Service.
Amazing. Tell us a little bit more. What happened post-college?
I thought it would be incredibly glamorous. I wanted to travel. I loved the idea of immersing myself in other cultures. Went to school at the University of South Carolina, coming from the New York area. I grew up in New Jersey and was a government and international studies major. I came back to New York to have a break before graduate school or the Foreign Service exam. And my break turned into a lifelong career in media. Funny how things happen like that.
And that's where I want to go deeper with you. You know, one of the things that I think has been really amazing about your career experience is that you've spent so many years at one company and had a very long tenure and then made decisions to move on to the next experience. So I'd love for you to kind of take us through, like, after working in a job and having many roles at A&E Networks for a while, what motivated you to look to find something else?
So, you know, at A&E, as you said, I had many roles. I really had three different jobs while I was there. And those jobs were very much burgeoning businesses. I with an incredible team of people, I helped to build businesses within this, you know, decades old television company. So once a business is built, as an entrepreneur, as you know, you move on. And the global content sales group was small when I joined. I'd come from ad sales. We had, created this really fun, inspiring role for me there. And we launched Fast Channels at the very beginning. We did all kinds of, you know, new initiatives to help build what became an incredible, fastest growing business for A&E Networks. And then I started looking elsewhere. I think, you know, there's other work to be done. it was time for me to push myself a little bit. A lot of it was about, you know, sort of testing my boundaries and not being too comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't love the cliche being comfortably uncomfortable or being uncomfortable, right. being comfortable, however you say it.
Right.
It was time. I was ready to do something different.
How did you approach that search? Like, what was the discernment looking like for you to make that next decision?
I was really trying to figure out sort of, and I don't want to say at my age, but sort of, you know, where I am in my career and, you know, what to do next. And a lot of it, I sort of, I don't know, I was starting, I feel like I moved backwards a little bit in the beginning. I went back to looking at roles within advertising, sales and ad tech. And, you know, those were things that felt very comfortable to me, although I hadn't been, you know, in ad sales for 3 or 4 years. I'm a salesperson. And I truly believe, you know, as a salesperson, I can sell anything. But, you know, I was looking for something new and different. I spoke to a person in the industry that I really treasure very much. And he had said to me years and years ago, do something that nobody else is doing. Like, you're super smart. You can figure out how to get something sold, but like figure out an industry that no one else is doing. At the time, believe it or not, that was podcasting. And I was talking to people very early on in the podcasting world while I was still at A&E. That didn't flesh out very much, but it was fun. Like I always found it to be fun to talk to and network with people to see what they were doing and see, you know, could I do that? Is there some kind of fit there for me?
So what I hear, and for our listeners, what I hear saying is that you were following your curiosity. You were networking, not necessarily to be like, do you have a job for me? But you were networking to kind of understand almost informationally what their experience is like, what they do in their role. And you're sort of collecting all of this, these different conversations you're having and helping you make your own decisions to sort of whittle out what does work and where you might want to go next.
Exactly right. And there is nothing more valuable than a network. And whether it's people you know directly or people who know people, you know, that can introduce you, especially I feel like if you're at a company for a very long time and it's very scary to go back out there, it makes it a much safer environment to have a coffee or have a Zoom or a quick conversation with somebody that's familiar or somebody that knows somebody. And I also feel like people are more than happy to extend their network. You know, that's
what really I found the same because we all need it someday, right? So you do it now, and then at some point you're going to need to tap into it too.
Exactly.
So when you think about that transition, what do you think were some of the biggest challenges that you faced going from, you know, one organization, 13 plus years to a new organization? But not a new company. I mean, BBC is long and tenured and, you know, very prestigious. So what were some of the initial challenges or obstacles in making those changes that you worked through?
Remember the first day on the school bus? It's very, very similar. And you know me very well. Like it's all about, you know, friends and being personal and making connections. And it's scary, man. Like it's super, super scary going in someplace. And it's probably just as scary going in someplace, whether it's been 13 years or whatever, but I haven't been on a school bus in decades, and I still remember that feeling walking in the door. And you have to really trust your gut, right? Like I decided to join this company that's an incredibly warm, welcoming 100-year-old brand of amazing content. So that is sort of the one side, you know, that makes you feel confident you can do this. I trusted the reputation of the folks that I was working with and for. And there's also the adrenaline and the energy that sort of gets you through that you're gonna make this happen. And there's no reason why it's not going to happen. And I know what I'm doing. It's just, how do you, you know, as a chameleon, like how do you change it for the right environment and how do you get to know that environment? But it's, you know, it was a huge adjustment. And it continues to be a huge adjustment. I'm still meeting many, many colleagues that I haven't met before. Met yet.
I would also imagine that the timing too, right? So we were also coming off of COVID where we were some of us were back in the office some days, but it wasn't like the full 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. So now also you're starting a new role and people aren't all in the office, right? Some, you know, it's probably a hybrid environment again too. So you're also meeting in a new way that's very different from the environment you came from.
Yeah. And so there were seven of us that were new that started like within a few months. So it's not only, you know, us getting to know our new colleagues and everybody getting their footing, but it's also adjusting to the amazing people that were there that started to build the business and making sure that everybody feels like a team and not just sort of these people that are just coming in to change everything. The office environment there is amazing. And we don't have a mandatory day, but we ask that everybody is in at least one day a week, which is Wednesdays. And that makes all the difference in the world. And the office is very vibrant. I go in 2 or 3 days a week now. We don't have offices. We have like workstations and we're back to that feeling of like hallway conversations and
I love it.
Grab you for something. And there's nothing like it. Like it's
there's nothing
just,
like it.
It's a bummer when you can't get a conference room and you need one, but
it keeps your thinking sharp. It keeps your thinking sharp. It keeps your networking. It helps you see things much more dimensionally versus just if we're always just having conversations on video or on Teams, right? Then we're only having a two-way conversation versus the dimensional conversation. I totally see why that would be such a difference in how your days are.
And it just helps, you know, with people that are sort of coming up in the industry too, and younger people that have started, you know, graduated during COVID and never gone to an office before, and all those things that, you know, those conversations that are new and different for them to have and start building their experience level.
When I ask you what was harder than you thought in this process, you said, you know, first day of school, but is there anything else besides that initial newness that was harder than you thought? Making a transition from one company to another?
It's knowing the product, right? So, and that's very specific, I think, to what I do. And I, you know, I sell content. I sell 100 years of BBC content. Prior to that, I sold A&E Lifetime and History content. Because I grew up at A&E, I knew the content. And that's like my biggest learning curve, which everybody tells me it'll come to me. But it's systems, it's silly things, but I think people are people. That's not the hardest part.
Yeah.
It's getting the machine rolling and organizing and getting systems together. Some of it too is finding your people and finding, you know, your peers and, I hate to keep going back to it, but it is sort of very much like high school without the cattiness. Yeah,
I can see that. I can see that. What did you like more than you thought you would?
Going into the office and just the camaraderie and it's like a think tank. We are a very, very meetings heavy culture. But the vibrancy that happens on some of these meetings and the ideas that are thrown out, and we have an incredible leader who presses us to come together with ideas and strategies. And you see that bubbling, and that's super exciting.
Right. Right. It's all there.
There is an excitement in the air for sure.
Yeah. So I know that you're not necessarily hiring, so I don't mean it's specific to your organization, but organizations like yours that are a 100-year-old brand that's built on, you know, credentials, respect, prestige. What tips would you give listeners who are looking for opportunities right now? Like, what are the qualities, the attitudes, the attributes that we're looking for in candidates?
Oh, interesting. It's working smart. It's working with a team. It's, you know, being able to collaborate and make decisions, not just because it's something you're told to do, but decisions that are based on data and decisions that are based on research and relationships. It's all about, you know, I've always been involved in sales organizations, and all you got is your relationships. Whether it's networking or whatever. So client relationships, and you don't have to come in with client relationships, but you have to know how to build them and how to be respectful and understand, you know, think about it. Your clients are people, obviously, and people that have not just us, but 20 million other people going after them for the same thing and trying to get them to buy something just, and you don't know what's going on in their lives. So it's the grace and the grace to sort of know how to be a good salesperson.
So when you think about how you start your day, right, you are working across many time zones. You have, a large, we'll say, book of business in front of you that you're going through. There has to be tools or some routines that you've established for yourself to help you stay, you know, strategic, attentive, connected. What are some of those morning routines or those ways that you start the day that you would share with others that have worked for you?
Well, I'll start sort of backwards. Okay. My dyslexia, but I always end the day with my to-do list for the next day. That was something, again, somebody told me to do many, many years ago, and it incredibly helps me to be focused for the next morning. So as soon as I start, I know what I'm doing. Because I am working through multiple time zones, I prioritize those in the UK and in EMEA before my responses, before I do obviously LA. It's really being focused on what you need to accomplish every day by the end of the week, and have real targets for yourself that are achievable. You know, there are just not enough minutes in the day or hours in the day to be able to complete everything. And I think I mentioned we're super meetings heavy culture. But there are things we have to make goals and meet our goals and exceed our goals. So it's really just staying as organized as possible. We have, you know, team meetings, we have strategy meetings twice a week to make sure everybody's on track, on what has to be done. And I think those are crucial too. And I try and be as available as possible to my team to answer questions and keep things moving along.
What time of day do you do your best work?
I'm like a late morning person. Like I get started very early in the morning, but I
you get your groove.
I get my groove and I start pounding out emails. I also, it's very interesting. I've noticed recently too, all the multitasking that's going on because we're in meetings all the time, right? And people are sitting on Zooms, but they're staring at the screen typing. So they're obviously doing meetings, and I try really hard not to do that because it's really hard for me to stay focused. I'm a big note taker and I have notebooks. I try to not be, you know, doing more than one thing at a time. Sometimes it's unavoidable. But I have to sort of push myself back to stay attentive.
So I know this, and I know it's an interest and a business of yours. Tell our audience about the bees, because I think that's one of the things that keeps, you know, the conversations you and I have had over the years. It's one of the things that keeps you very fresh because you do something so different than
my fun fact,
right? What you spend a good chunk of your week doing, at BBC, you also have the bees. Tell them.
So my husband and I are beekeepers we're urban beekeepers in Brooklyn, New York. We have anywhere between 4 and 6 hives on the roof of our house. We also maintain hives at wonderful in-laws house in Westchester County, New York. But we have a pretty decent bee honey business. It's called Gowanus Apiaries. And our honey.
Tell them again what it's called.
Gowanus Apiaries,
Gowanus Apiaries. We're going to put that in the show notes, people.
And our honey is called Carroll Gardens Honey. We actually have a new line of honey just waiting for the labels to arrive. So if you live in the Northeast, you're probably very familiar with the red lantern flies. And red lantern flies excrete, that's kind of icky, but they excrete this honeydew on the plants, which the bees love, and it makes the honey a little bit smoky and red.
Oh, so is this the silver lining of the red lantern?
It really is, right? And they are beautiful. They're just, incredibly invasive, especially if you have grapes. But so we didn't really want to put it under our Kiwanis our Carroll Gardens Honey label, but there seems to be interest from a lot of our retailers in selling it. So, and we have a ton of it. So we are going to be distributing Brooklyn Red Honey. And we've been doing it for about 13 years, sell it at local Brooklyn retailers, do a ton of mail order across the country, which is pretty amazing. And we have people show up outside our house when there's a lot of pollen in the air with their spring and fall allergies and say, is this a honey store? Can I buy some honey?
This is my home, but here's my website.
hold on. I'll tie up the dog and go get you a jar of honey. It's a wonderful way to sort of chill out, sit on the roof of our house, watch the bees, schlep stuff up and down the back of the house with a crane that we have, but it's fun.
It's just an amazing New York story that I love that. So then the last question for you would be, how does hanging with the bees and chilling with the bees make you better at your day job?
You get to see the big picture, that there is an end to the day job and there's a life after the day job, and you have to have something else to do in your life.
I think that's a perfect place to end it, right? Being able to have something else, you know, we can love our work and we can also do other things outside of our day jobs too. So that's wonderful. Sarah, thank you so much for being here. As always, if anyone has any questions, you can send them to hello@jillgriffincoaching.com. We'll get them to Sarah. We'll get them back to you, all the things. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Career Refresh podcast. If you're enjoying this and you want more information, go to my website, jillgriffincoaching.com. There you can find information on how to work with me one-on-one or my group programs, or even bring me into your workplace. I'll put the link to my website in the show notes. But hey, listen, before you go, do me a favor, rate and review this podcast, because it definitely helps me get the word out to people everywhere so that they can also thrive in the workplace. All right, friends, I appreciate you. I'll see you soon.